Your testimony is a living, breathing thing. I am, in a sense, wrapping this section of our testimony up today. And I want to kind of give some thoughts through that. And the next few weeks, we're going to take the next step. And so as you have been here for a number of weeks, you probably know this already. We started with the idea of having conversations, having meaningful conversations. In fact, we even kind of encouraged one another to say, hey, let's record some of those conversations, not so that we can say, look what I have done, but so that we can mark, look what God has done. And so we've been talking about having those meaningful conversations, and even we have a conversation board back here that many of you have put up, and you've said, you know, I had the opportunity to just pray with someone. I had an opportunity to share with someone, asking them to come to church. I had an opportunity to encourage someone in the faith. And so we talked about those, and then as we started in through the new year, we started talking about taking the next step. And so when we talk about our conversations, those conversations taking the next step would be, I want to share what God has done in my life. By the way, that is a bold step. For American Christianity, that can even be a very difficult step. It's like, I'm okay with having a conversation, and it's pretty light of me to say, I want to invite you to come to church, and I don't want to put myself out there too much, but now, Pastor, you've asked us to take the next step, and that next step is you want us to now share what God has done in our lives. Let me tell you this, God is always working in the believer's life, and we've got to share that. We've got to share that. There are a number of things in my life that I just could not wait to share. I know that I often talk about like the Cowboys, and I want to tell you about how the Cowboys did. But let me tell you something. There are some things that I just absolutely could not wait to share. And in fact, I was so overjoyed by it that I probably spoke it inappropriately a couple of times. And that's when I started talking about my children. Everybody knows like the 12-week rule. Well, guys really struggle with the 12-week rule, okay? Because we're excited about that. And we're thinking God's at work. And so we want to make sure that everybody knows that we're going to have children. And it's hard to keep that quiet. I remember even having that first child, and you've got to, if you've done this, you know how this works. You got to set something up real special for the parents to tell them that they're going to be a grandparent for the first time. You can't wait to share that information. As a believer, you're a child of God. As a believer, you ought to be sharing that information. Even this week, Christine, I'm going to use your name, but Thursday, when we talked about baptism, we were talking about the idea that we would do that publicly, and that was going to be difficult. And I said, do you want to put it off a week? And Christina said, no, I'm going to do it this week. She's ready. That didn't make it easy. By the way, any of you that have gone through the baptismal waters, you know that when you start taking those steps down, the pit in your stomach is pretty big, you know, right? Okay, just me and Christina then, just us two. But what she's doing is she's declaring her faith. She's telling you what God has done in her life. That's an incredible thing. And we're going to wrap that up, but I want to give just a special plug for this, because the next couple of weeks, what are we going to do? We're going to take the next couple of steps. Because now we're going to have those conversations. We're going to share what God has done in our life. And then we're going to be prepared to give an account for the hope that we have. We're going to share what it means, what it looks like to actually share your faith, to actually just not just your testimony, but also the idea of now how does this transfer to you? That's an incredible thing. That's an exciting thing, because what we're going to be saying is it's not just the pastor's job, the plural pastors that we have on staff. It's not that we don't just pay them to tell people about Jesus, but I'm now prepared to tell people about Jesus myself. And we're going to encourage one another to share about Christ and to share about what Christ has done in your life. And then to take that next step and say, do you want what God has done in my life? Wow, that's big. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm excited about it. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you probably have known now for the last several weeks, when I started thinking through this series, we had just come off of a series with the Reach 100, having those conversations, and then early on in the Reach 100 series, we began to kind of think through the idea of, okay, what's the next step? And then we were challenged to say, what's the next step? And so what I did when I started looking at testimonies is I studied the Scripture to find out where the Scripture talked about the testimony that we have. You know, and I know that you must think that I saw and figured out all the places where the Bible talked about testimony, and then I studied those things. And there's probably two or three more places where the Scripture uses the word testimony, but I knew that I would want to kind of cap this section with what I think is Paul saying, here's the testimony. And again, what Paul will do here is he is doing exactly what we are doing right now. He's just writing it down. Because what he's doing is he's saying to other believers, hey, here's what God has done in my life. You have to share the same thing. Okay? And he's also going to be dealing with a word that we struggle with. Okay? I mean, we're going to open our scripture by saying, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And that is incredibly applicable to me. I believe you will say it is applicable to me as well. But the Bible tells us not to be ashamed of our testimony. And the idea of shame is prevalent in everybody's life at one point or another. The idea of shame, it, by the way, defined, I guess, if you will, if you look this up in a dictionary, the idea of shame is painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, or impropriety, a feeling of unsuccessfulness. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute. Sometimes we can feel shame for a number of different reasons. Maybe in our faith we feel shame because we feel like we don't know how to talk about doctrine. Or maybe if I just said the word doctrine, there are some of you in here saying, I don't even know what doctrine means. It's the set of beliefs that we have. Or maybe you've heard other people talk about theology and you're thinking, I don't want to get into that discussion because I don't know enough about theology. Or maybe you've said, I don't want to share my faith because I don't know enough about my faith to be able to share that. And maybe in some ways, the last several weeks as we talked about testimony, maybe there's been even some sense of shame. The Bible tells us we're not to be ashamed of the testimony. And this really works kind of in two different ways. I don't want to get too much into the philosophical idea, but you know, there are some situations in life where it's appropriate to feel some shame. I know that you just turned me off right there, didn't you? I mean, it's like, hey, hold on a second. We're in America in 2017. You're not supposed to make people feel bad. I'm not making you feel bad, okay? I'm just telling you that if we look through the Scripture, I think that there are some areas where we probably should feel some shame. For instance, case and point, you spoke poorly about someone behind their back and they found out and you felt shame for it, appropriate. Like, well, I just don't want to feel like this. I get it. That's why we don't talk about people behind their backs. Or years ago, not this week, but years ago, you did some inappropriate things at work and you got caught and you got written up and you felt some shame for it. And you're like, I just don't want to, that shame, if you did wrong, is probably appropriate. But did you know that there's some times that in our Christian life, we feel shame and it's not appropriate? In fact, in America, this is a pretty big deal these days. Okay, say for instance, and even when I say this, you're going to shame me, but you know, I was a pretty good tennis player, Marty, back in the day. I was really excellent, if I might say. You work all week long to play tennis. And the thing about a tennis tournament is if you've ever played in a tennis tournament, there are those days where you cannot miss anything. And then there are those days where you are horrible. There are those days where you can't put a serve in. There are those days where your backhand just leaves you and you feel, or maybe you're a serve and volley guy, which means you serve and you go to the net and you're ready and it just doesn't work. And there are those days where I did my best and I felt shame. I want you to know that's wrong shame. Maybe I should feel discouraged, but I shouldn't feel shame. So, for our time this morning, right shame is when you've done something to disgrace the faith or even the Lord. Disgrace may be a strong word, but let's just go with that. Wrong shame is when you have done something, but it didn't shame God, but you still allow that to kind of take control of who you are. I think that what we'll see in this passage is Paul dealing with, hey, don't be ashamed about God, but also don't be ashamed about what God has given you. Don't be ashamed about the gifts that God has given you. Okay, so let's read from 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verse 8 through 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word together. And then we will apply God's Word this morning. It says this, "So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." God, we pray just a blessing over the reading of Your Word. Help us to apply Your Word. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as we talk through this, I think that there are some things that I want to try to be light on just to kind of give us an overview. And so the main outline of this is really to just try to give us an overview of what we've gone through. And so there's nothing incredibly special about the outline, except for the fact that if you were to take this outline and apply it outside of this place, I think it would be effective. And so the first thing that we find in verse 8 is, don't be ashamed of your story. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. And not only don't be ashamed of your own story, but don't be ashamed of the story of other believers. Hey, we're in this together. We are in this together, every single one of us. As believers, we're hand in hand. I think sometimes we have this idea that this is stage, and we have the choir, and Charlie does his music stuff, and boy, that's really a great performance. Maybe one out of six times you say, that was a really great sermon, or two out of six, I'm not sure. But it's important for us to know that we are together. We're not separated. Believers are together, and we share in this story. You are a part of my story. And I'm proud of your story. We share this story together. That's what Paul is saying. He's again, likely speaking to Timothy, a young Timothy, maybe 30 years old, who hasn't really come of age in the ministry area. They probably needed to be around 40 to really kind of get the idea of his maturity. And we see Paul even address this a little bit later on to say, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in life, love, speech, and purity. And Paul is saying, don't let anyone make you ashamed of the gospel. Don't let them make you ashamed of your story, and don't let them make you ashamed of my story. So I am telling you, in your story, as you are challenged to share your story, I'm proud of your story. We are to be proud of our story. Bible tells us that your story, it really has a purpose. That you are to walk with the Lord in everything that we do. The Christian story faces three basic ways of public identification in Christ. And so when I say that we are together, I think I can find three different ways that we are solidly a family together. First, We can identify with Christ and this family with our speech and lifestyle. This is important because I want to make sure that we understand this very clearly. In the Baptist church, we spend a lot of time talking about how your works don't matter. And if you stop right there, you would be incorrect. We say your works don't matter for salvation. You want to know why we say that? Because you can never be good enough. You can never do anything to earn your salvation. And in the Baptist church, what we tend to kind of do is say, well, your works don't matter. Your works do matter. They just don't matter for salvation. They matter in your story. They matter as you walk with Jesus, because part of your story is your lifestyle. I want you to know that there are believers in this world that live a horrible lifestyle. It's just true. Let's be truthful about it. And believers should not live a horrible lifestyle. Believers ought to live in a manner worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. We are identified by our lifestyle. And one of the things that America and maybe other religions and maybe no religion at all has a problem with Christianity, because we say all we want to from our mouth, but we deny Jesus by our lifestyle. And so we identify with one another with this purpose by our lifestyle. The second way we identify with one another is solidarity with one another. I've said this often. It's hard to say that you're a Christian and you don't want to be around Christian people. It doesn't make sense. I hear this all the time. Trust me, everybody's always ready for this excuse with the pastor, okay? Always ready. I know I haven't been there, but I know that you can worship God anywhere you are, and that is true. But the problem is, as we serve the Lord and as we grow in the Lord, we desire to be with God's people. You don't know why? Because as God's people, we are to lift one another up. We are to encourage one another. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together with one another so that we can be in Bible study with one another and we can hold each other accountable. And that's really why people don't come to church sometimes, because nobody likes to be accountable. But we identify with one another and we identify with Christ by our lifestyle, by our solidarity, our association with other people who are of the same mind, and then we also identify with the message of Jesus Christ, with the Bible. So this idea of ashamed from verse 8, here's one of the issues. It's kind of like, okay, let's be real about this, okay? So a number of times maybe you've been encouraged to do something from church, and you say, okay, I'm going to try to do this. And let's say, for instance, when we started this conversation thing, with this idea of asking someone if you can pray for them. And let's say you're in a group. Let's say you went out to the restaurant, and one in the group says, hey, waitress, we're about to pray. Can we pray for you? And then there's some ashamed, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they would say that. I can't believe they would offer a Christian hand to someone that they don't know. Paul is saying, don't be ashamed of the work of Jesus in individuals. And here's why I say that, because when we stop, we say, don't be ashamed of the testimony, but as we keep going, he says, or of me, his prisoner. He's saying, don't be ashamed of your testimony, don't be ashamed of the testimony, but don't be ashamed of other people who are boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus. When I was in youth ministry, we used to challenge our students. I know this is completely out of the realm of possibility now. We used to challenge our students to bring their Bibles to school. And there were definitely some who would bring it, and there were some who, yeah, I will definitely bring that. I'll bring my little New Testament, make sure it's in my backpack, and I'll carry it around all the time. And I have a lot of that memorized, so I won't need to pull it out at any point in time. Again, I know that that's kind of a foreign concept these days, because if kids want to read their Bible, they can read their Bible on their phones now. But I can remember there was a discussion with students as they were talking about this idea of carrying their Bible, that some of them were honest and said, I couldn't do it. And in some way, with our purpose, being with other people, adhering to the message of Christ, living a lifestyle, I know that there are still some people this morning that think they can't do it, but you can. You can. Second thing, your story has a plan. When we start talking about our plan, I just remind you that God has had a plan from the very beginning, and that plan was for believers to live a holy lifestyle. I'm not saying try harder. I'm saying release more. I'm not saying that you need to do better. I'm saying give yourself over to the Lord even more. Some people say, well, I don't know how to do that. I know this sounds very Southern Baptist-y of me, and you know I don't like to be Southern Baptist-y. That's a mild joke, only for me to laugh, and Tim, thank you. But you should have at least a little bit of time every single day with the Lord. Maybe just a passage of Scripture. Maybe just a small devotional. The idea of devotional today is so incredibly easy. I mean, most of you probably have some type of phone that you could have them send you something every single morning. I do. I have several things sent to me every single morning. When I wake up and I can barely open my eyes, I'm looking at my phone. You're like, that's not very Christian. Yeah, well, I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading my devotionals, and it's so easy. And there is a plan for our life. And by the way, just to make sure we get this in here, Paul talks about this. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. Part of that plan is suffering. And why do we suffer? Because we are part of fallen man. We shouldn't try to run from it. We embrace it. Because God is producing character even through that. Do not be ashamed of your story. Do not be ashamed of your salvation. This carries us right in to next week. That salvation. How did you receive salvation? The Bible tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. So we now know that those people who we would claim is good, and those people that we would claim that are not so good, and those people that we would claim are rotten, and those people that we would say are almost like saints. Every single one of us are in the same boat. In some ways, we kind of try to classify sins and say, well, that one's probably pretty bad. I don't know how they can be a Christian. Let me tell you something. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. So we're all in the same place. God saves us despite our error, despite our wrongdoing. You've heard me say this, and I quote this verse a lot. God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, sinning, Christ died for us. While we were actively going against the will of God, Christ died for us. And why did He have to die for us? Because the Bible tells us that our sin missed the mark. And Habakkuk 1:13 says, "You are too just to tolerate evil. You are unable to condone wrongdoing." Because God is just, our sin separated us. And I want to make sure that we understand that God did not say, well, they sinned. I don't know what to do now. This is really beyond my scope. I created them and they were supposed to be perfect, and now they're not perfect. I don't know what to do. God always had a plan from eternity past. God saves despite error, and God saves despite effort. We talked about this just a little bit. No matter what you have done, God saves you. Your effort should be placed in, after your salvation, continuing to work in the will of God, continuing to serve in the will of God, continuing to try to see what God wants you to do and be obedient to that call of God on your life. Let me just say it like this, so I can get in trouble with everybody and not just some of you. Your obedience requires some type of ministry. Okay? Now, I know you take care of your ministers. And you say, oh yeah, that's what we pay you for. That's that. If you think that, we have done a poor job of educating our church. My job is equipper. My job is leader. My job is to encourage your staff. My job is to preach on Sunday mornings. My job is not to make sure that everybody you tell about Jesus comes to me so that I can make sure and pray the prayer with them. We are all ministers of the gospel. And so we share in this gospel story. We are to be a part of sharing and not being ashamed of our salvation, despite our effort, despite our best effort. Romans 3, 9 and 10 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. That means not only have you sinned, but it means you also, even after Christ, you still got issues. God's taking care of them. And you are free. You are free to live in Christ. You're free to live out that life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know this verse says this, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, so that one can boast. I just want to do a quick hermeneutical study here. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means you've been saved by grace. What's it continue to mean? It means you can't work for your salvation. Finally, don't be ashamed of your story. Don't be ashamed of your salvation. And then don't be ashamed of the Savior. Let me tell you something. The world right now, I wouldn't say the world. That's not fair. In America right now, we are seeing kind of a trend. And we're about, actually, believe it or not, in the United States, we're about 20 years behind Europe in this trend. And that trend is secularism. That trend is we have everything we feel like we need or want. That trend is, I don't know that I need the Lord. But let me tell you something. God is doing a great work in some countries, and there are thousands and thousands of people being saved every single day. The gospel reveals life. We don't need to be ashamed of God. The idea of standing up for your faith in America has become increasingly difficult, not because we're going to suffer for it, but because we might be shamed for it. Some of you like to put those two words together. Shame is suffering. That's not true. It's just not true. That's not true. Shame is a feeling or an emotion. Suffering could cause bodily harm. Suffering is Paul being thrown in jail. Suffering is going through circumstances that are beyond your control for the gospel. Sometimes we find shame because, again, people are having conversations and maybe some atheist has come to you and said, hey, they've proven the Bible's not right and you didn't know what to say. And you feel some shame, which, by the way, they have not. They have not. Hey, you've heard a lot of stuff now and there's a lot of reasons to believe that Christianity is just false. It's not. And here's the best one. This is the best one. I don't know how you can be a Christian when all those other Christians spend so much time hating everybody. I mean, I was in a spin class this past weekend, and we just happened to be talking. Inevitably, the Baptist pastor thing comes up, and you can feel the coldness in the room. It's like, oh, it just got cold in here. And then they began to talk about one of the Baptist universities that's having so many struggles right now. And the response to me was this, but you must be okay with it because Baptists, they stick together. And my response immediately was, sin. We all have it. And in our church, can't speak for every Baptist, but in our church, we're going to try to love in spite of it. Because we were loved in spite of it. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. The gospel reveals life. The gospel reveals light. Here's what I would want to end this with. When you are sharing your story, you are spraying the light. You are illuminating someone's dark path. You are showing someone what God has done in your life. Look at me. Look at me, please. Very important. As believers, our light, even as we learned in Vacation Bible School, sometimes our light is hidden under a bushel. And the Bible tells us it should never, ever be hidden. I am challenging you. I am challenging myself. I am pleading consciously, subconsciously, and with you as well. Let's shine our light. Let's share the gospel and what he's done in our life. And you might ask, okay, I get it. I want to do that. How can I do that and how can I take the next step? Great. We'll see you next Sunday because we're going to talk about how to share not just our testimony, but how to share what God has done in our life. And some of you are like, well, I've heard that before. You're right. You probably have. And you probably need to be reminded, just like me. Are you ashamed? Even more importantly, have you been so ashamed that you've never actually trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Love to be able to share with you how to do that. I would love to encourage you how to do that. Jesus Christ walked this earth. There's no question about it. We see in Mark chapter 16, Peter asking God, Jesus asking Peter, who do the people say that I am? And Peter answers, some say a prophet, some say others. And then Jesus asks an individual question, and I'm asking you this and I'm done. Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm asking you, who do you say that Jesus is? Have you begun that relationship with him? Today's the day. Don't be ashamed. God, we pray just for this time of reflection, this time of invitation. God, we sense and know that you're at work. And God, in some ways, our relationship with you has to get beyond that shame level. So God, I pray that we would not be ashamed of our testimony, that we would not be ashamed of others who we know who are believers. But God, most importantly, we would not be ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ. So this morning, I pray that if there's anyone here who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus, that today would be the day. It can never get easier to proclaim publicly what you have done in our life. Because this is a congregation that will celebrate that. And we look forward to seeing people publicly profess their faith. God, if that needs to happen today, I pray that it will. God, I pray for those who may be thinking about joining the church and thinking about what their place is and thinking about what their ministry is. God, today, if you're leading them, I pray that today would be the day that people would join the church. And God, I pray that this altar would be a place that we can just place our fears, our hopes, our trusts here before you. God, that we would pray for people who don't know you. We would pray for our own heart to minister to people. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together, believers praying? This altar is a place of prayer. Certainly it should be used with families, maybe for you to pray for someone who you know needs Jesus, or maybe you need to just place yourself at the altar to humble yourself before the Lord. Maybe you need to come this morning and join in this church, or most importantly, maybe today is the day of salvation. It'd be incredible. We'd celebrate it with you. However the Spirit is leading, don't wait for another day what you can do today. You come as Holy Spirit leads.
All to Jesus.
All to Jesus.